a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
And outside, this is KSL Outdoors,
brought to you by Trax Power Sports Rentals.
2 hours of stories and information on hunting, fishing, and high adventure.
KSL Outdoors with Tim Hughes
on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Welcome back to KSL Outdoors Radio. As always, a pleasure to have you listening. I'm looking forward to this next conversation. Many of you, if you've listened to the program for a long time, may remember, and it's been, gosh, we were reflecting on this the other day, I think a full decade since we made our 10-day self-guided trip down the Kinnickinnic River in Alaska, in on float plane, and just had the time of our lives, and an experience that many people only dream about. And particularly on the tail end of a pandemic, I think following through with some things on your bucket list is important for all of us. And I would call him a friend, but really he's more family. He's our brother from another mother, Jack Scott, who lives down in the St. George area, has gone this week to fulfill one of those bucket lists for him, and it happens to be in Alaska, too. Jack joins us on the line. Hey, buddy, how are you?
I'm doing well, Mr. Hughes. How are you? It's so good to hear your voice again.
It's great to hear you, too. Just a little backstory here. How many years ago was it that you and my older brother Ken crossed paths at Fred's Market in Jackson Hole, Wyoming?
Jackson Hole, Wyoming. It was on, I can tell you the exact date because it's so memorable for me. It was on Memorial Day, 1984.
1984, 94, 2004, 2004.
Yep, 37 years.
Holy cow. And you, yep. You guys have been so tight ever since. And then I was introduced to you, and we, from time to time, will bump into each other and actually plan on sharing some of these road experiences together. And it really has been one of the highlights of my life. So thanks for that.
Mine as well. Absolutely. Absolutely. It's always been a great time.
All right. Tell me about this bucket list you're on.
Well, you know, it's just a little bit of background right quick. About 10 years ago, I lost a very dear friend of mine, and we always had plans. Well, next time we get together, we're going to do this. But unfortunately, he passed away unexpectedly. And since that time, I have been diligently trying to knock off a bucket list item at least every year. And I had a challenge thrown down to me by my employer, said that if I lose 25 pounds, that they would send me to Alaska on a fishing trip. Now, 25 pounds on me, Tim, as you know, is kind of like a bucket of water from the ocean. but nonetheless, it was effective, and I just said, go ahead and book the trip because it's an automatic. And I arrived Monday evening, and it's been on ever since.
So you're in the Kenai Peninsula. Where about exactly?
I am in Sterling, Alaska, which is just a little bit north of Soldotna, pretty much center of the Kenai Peninsula, but about 75 miles from Homer, about 175 from Anchorage.
All right. And are you up there with a guide service, or are you doing this self-propelled?
Nope. It's one of those deals, if you're going to do it right. So, yeah, my boss has hooked me up with a great lodge. I actually got up here with some old school chums. My employer and his son showed up last night, and dude, my arm is getting a little tired. We've been so successful.
Well, I don't know if I ever shared many of the stories from our trip down the Kinnickinnic River, but people might, you know, think that's an exaggeration. You do get sore from just hooking big fish. And from the pictures I've already seen on your Facebook, you've had a couple of kings, a couple of halibut, and I think there were a couple of other things thrown in there, too.
Yes, we've, in fact, today we We loaded up on king salmon again on the Kasilof River, guided by a great guide. He knew what was up and put us on the fish, and we loaded up. We caught a couple of sockeye last night on the Kenai River, just right below the lodge where we're staying, and it has been an absolute blast. It's been everything I've expected it to be, and we've got three more days, and we just hope to come home with Ben Gay on our shoulders.
and a few frozen fish probably too, right?
Yeah, as many as we can get, you bet. And we're going back after some more halibut and some king salmon in the ocean on Saturday. So
let's talk. Yeah, let's talk about the kings first of all. I wasn't lucky enough to hook into one when we made our trip to Alaska, but I have video that I've got to share with you of a guy who actually snagged about a 50 pounder on a fly rod. And I asked my buddy Navidomskis, who's going to join us here in a couple of minutes to do our fish bites for another week. I said, when I first met him, what's it like to hook into a king salmon on a fly rod? He said, it's kind of like snagging a jet ski and trying to hold on. Are you on a fly rod up there?
I have a fly rod. I haven't hooked into a king with it yet, just a couple of sockeye. Excuse me. And it's all that a guy needs. But we hooked into a king salmon yesterday on the Kenai River that was probably a 50 pounder, and unfortunately the angler lost it, but it was he manhandled him. That fish just said, all right, let's go over here for a little bit and then we'll come back around this way, and he was just at its mercy.
Yeah.
Until it finally just pulled the hook and was lost. But yeah, it's incredible. It's everything I expected it to be and a little bit more.
That's a perfect example that you're at their mercy, because in this video, which takes, I'm only going to guess, maybe 6-7 minutes, we chase this thing down the shoreline. He's reeling whenever he could get slack, because you don't want that to ever happen. He jumps on the back of a boat. We cross to the other side. Other people are pulling lines in so he can get some more shoreline to chase this thing. And eventually he ends up losing it too. You lose more than you get. But are you snagging these fish, or are they going after whatever you're throwing?
Well, the kings are right now, they're starting to move in to spawn, and so they're aggressive and territorial. It's not that they're feeding, they just get angry when somebody irritates them. And so you throw out a flashy spinner, you know, on the Kenai, because it's no bait, and it just upsets them so much that they strike out of anger. Uh-huh. And then the sockeye, yes, you do what they call flossing. You throw the hook out there, gets down to the bottom and bounces along, and then you just kind of strip it in. But you hook them in the mouth, and it's on.
Now, are you fishing from the shoreline, or are you actually floating this whole time?
We were floating yesterday and today, but it's only a six-hour deal. And, of course, it's daylight up here, I think, for 20 hours right now. And then it's just dusky after that. So it's interesting that you can just get carried away fishing, and next thing you know, it's 11 o'clock at night, and you've got to be up at 3.
Yeah, well,
I know you know how that feels.
We were pulling into camp about 11 p.m. and then setting up camp, and dinner was being cooked with whatever fish we kept that day. And you do, you catch yourself out there with what would be dusk around here, and you look down, and it's 1 o'clock in the morning, you're still fishing.
Yeah, it's amazing, and it's actually quite exhilarating, and the great thing that I find is that fish like this don't live in ugly places.
Exactly. That's perfect. All right. So those fish you were catching in the river, I'm guessing it had to be halibut off the coast somewhere, weren't you?
Yes, yes. We had an ocean trip first day. We caught them. I drove to Homer, and we fished out of Homer and went out and caught those halibut, which are average. And then we were able to fish for king salmon in the ocean, which you can catch and keep any size.
So what's average? What's average when it comes to a halibut?
Oh, probably a 40-50 pounder. yeah, we had some guys on the lodge that went for an overnighter out of Homer, and they caught three halibut over 100 pounds.
Yeah, crazy. I'm sure you're salivating at waiting to bite into one of those when you get home, or maybe you've already had some back at the lodge.
Yeah, the lodge cooked up a bunch of halibut last night for fish and chips for everyone, and it was delicious. I can hardly wait.
The boss didn't have any rules or regulations about putting that 25 back on when you're there, did he?
No, he didn't. And you know what? I've been pretty diligent by walking up and down the river and fighting fish to help keep it down.
That's great news. So you said you got three more days. We've only got a minute or so here. Tell me a little bit about the lodge.
The lodge it's called Angler's Lodge out of Sterling, Alaska, and it is a full-service lodge. They set up your fishing trips. They have fly-in and fly-outs to remote lakes where you can view bears and catch fish and come back, as well as they put you on the rivers. They'll put you on the ocean. They just take care of all of it, and the food is outstanding. They have breakfast, which you can prepare at 3 o'clock in the morning, and they have it prepared. You can microwave it, go get and go, or it's first class. I'm totally impressed.
And today, just a minute ago, you just got back from the packaging plant. So if it was like our trip, you take your salmon in, and then they will give you either frozen salmon or canned, I guess, if you want it that way, right?
Yeah, this one is a little bit different. They actually will give you your fish back, flash frozen and vacuum sealed the way you'd like it. But you can indeed trade a salmon for some smoked salmon with a little additional fee. Mm. Halibut, not so much, because the halibut is, you know, you can only catch two a day, and there's no halibut fishing on Wednesday. So it's interesting.
Well, you'll appreciate this. When we got back, I had so many, you know, salmon fillets, all flash frozen, as you said, brought back from Alaska. I actually loaded some in the travel bag on the back of my motorcycle, put it on dry ice, and we hauled it up to Missoula so Ken and Becky could enjoy a meal with us.
Oh, man, that's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's beautiful. And, of course, I know how to use a knife, so the ones we catch on the river, I just bring them back and flay them. And it's astounding as to what these wild fish are like as opposed to others.
Yeah.
And it's just a beautiful sight.
All right.
It's really been something.
We got to wrap this up. That meeting all the way back in 1984, by the way, when Jack says he's handy with a knife, was in the meat department at Fred's Market up there. And some of the stories we can't tell on the radio, but they're
there's some of them I can't talk to myself about.
All right, buddy. Sounds like you're having the time of your life. Keep it up. The only thing more fast and furious than your fishing right now is the real estate market, and you won't do it, but I will. Anybody that's down in the St. George area looking for a house to buy or sell, this is the guy to do it. What, and remind me the name of the company, your realtor?
Jack Scott, Red Rock Real Estate. I'm the managing broker, and we can take care of the largest real estate market brokerage in southern Utah.
That's great stuff.
And, we just have it. We have it all available for you. It's vacation rentals as well as property management and real estate.
All right, brother, enjoy your time.
Indeed. Thank you so much for the call, and I look forward to seeing you face-to-face soon.
Coming up in just a minute, we'll talk more fishing. Fish Bites is next with Navidomskis.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Bubba had a dream, Bubba had a wish, to find himself a woman that loved the fish. One day at the tackle shop, his dream came true, and now for everyone he catches, she catches too. Hey, Bubba! She fishes better than you.
One more time, Bubba.
She fishes better than you.
It may be true that she golfs better than you, too, if you're Babbitt Oscar. All right, speaking of golfing,
By the way, Tim, yeah. Golf is not a verb.
I know.
I know.
You've tried to educate me on that before, and quite frankly, me, Russ, and no one else in our listening audience cares a whit about that.
I know. No, it's become true that because of the common use of golf as a verb,
yeah,
it's going to be accepted if it isn't already as a verb. I mean, even in Europe, they say footballer. You're a footballer, which means you play soccer.
Mm-hmm.
So football now a verb too, but it's only recent because golf is not a verb.
Yeah.
It's players, are not the golfers tour.
Well, I'm glad we cleared that up, and this explains why you needed to retire earlier than the rest of us, because you burden your brain with non-essential material. You really needed to turn the world off because you're a mess.
Well, you know, not in the golf world. If you play golf, you know players know that you say you play golf, and it's like horseshoes or pool. You know, you don't, like, I'm a pitcher or a pooler, you know. But you know what? The people who don't play golf, they speak in their language, and it differentiates who plays and who doesn't.
All right. Yeah. You got that, Russ?
Well, I'm a member of the Society for the Poor Use of Verbs.
Yeah.
So that comes up all the time.
Well, I hope your dues are paid because just got another lesson in it. All right. So if you're a fisher, like a golfer, where are you going fishing this week?
You're going to fish the lakes, Tim. The rivers are not doing well. They're muddying up. It's in the afternoon. They're just too muddy. If you're going to fish now, you're going to fish like it's late July. Unless the hatches are there yet, they're not. The bugs aren't hatching any weird way.
Oops.
Temperatures of the river warming at a radical rate. If you're going to fish, you're going to fish early because late it's going to be muddy. So I'm telling you, fish the lakes. And the Mirror Lake hot is the big target these days. I got a hot tip out of some sources this week. Fishing really great. All those lakes that are easily accessible from the road. And you're going to want to get that done because I don't know about July and August. I've got a fly class happening in August, and I'm worried sick about it. Like I said, I got word out of Montana. A number of rivers have been closed due to low flows. The regular rafting boats can't get down them this year. So it's going to be just a weird year. We had a COVID year, now we got a drought year to deal with, and it's not going to be pleasant for the fishing, but you're still good if you go now. I'm thinking over the next few weeks, if you have your favorite lake, get out there, because I'm not sure it's going to be there in any fishable manner July, August.
Yeah, and I forgot to ask you, are you going to be still up in Montana next Thursday when we're recording or no?
Well, I'll be en route to a river on Thursday, so okay. I'm fully planning to talk to you.
All right, because I'd like to have the report from up there on exactly what you encountered. But you said that lower water actually worked to your advantage in being able to get a permit you didn't think you'd be able to land.
Yeah, that's correct. Like I say, I float a small boat, but even I'm considering, because to get down the river, it may mean I can't bring a tent or I can't bring food. So I'm weighing all my options here, because the last thing I want to do is drive. When I say drag, I mean literally drag my raft 60 miles.
Yeah. I was just looking at one of the reports from Strawberry, and it's 6 days old, so you have to take that into account. But obviously, you know, you're looking at mid-season kind of conditions here, and I guess the fish have figured that out simply by the temperatures.
Look, the Strawberry reports are really good. I kind of left that out. I didn't mean to in my report. But people who are fishing Strawberry are doing great. They're killing them for whatever reason. And it's the cutthroats that they're catching. And, you know, your usual suspects, but I heard Black was particularly good. But, yeah, all week long, Strawberry's been fishing great. So it hasn't been affected by the weather at all. In fact, I think it's fishing better than normal at this time of year.
Yeah, and we're going to have to leave it there because of all of your chatter about golf.
we
could have talked about more fishing, but we ended up talking about golf today.
I get complaints when that happens.
Yeah, well, prepare to get some more complaints today. That's your Fish Bites. Coming up after the top of the hour, looking forward to talking to Covey Jones. And if you've ever encountered a moose in the backcountry, you may have similar stories to tell. He says it's the only one of the big critters he's encountered that actually turned around and come after him. We'll tell his story next and give you some tips on how to avoid it for you and your family.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.